Thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah. And if you remember from last time, from the first half of this episode, we are talking about the four texts that are assigned for the lectionary Sunday of June 12th, for the week of June 12th. Last time we talked about texts from 2 Samuel and from Psalm 32. We will be continuing. We'll be talking about the Gospel of Luke and a reading from Galatians. Before we get started, just to remind you, in case you didn't hear that first half of the episode, I'll tell you a little bit about myself. Again, my name is Sarah. I'm a Lutheran. I got my Master's of Divinity from Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary in Berkeley, California. My dad always jokes that I have a Master's of Divinity, so why don't I make it? If you don't know what that means, divinity is a white, fluffy dessert kind of thing. And so he's always joking that if I have a master's degree in it, I should be making more of it. Ha ha, Dad. Thank you. I've been a Lutheran my whole life, and I have served as the associate pastor in two Lutheran churches, one in Montana and one in California. So as a Lutheran, as I mentioned last time, I'm used to following what is called a lectionary cycle, meaning that the texts read in church each Sunday are on a three-year rotating basis. Each Sunday is assigned four texts, one from the Old Testament, one from the Psalm, one from the New Testament, and one from the Gospel. And so initially, I'm going to follow the lectionary texts for each week. And I'm sure as we go on and we figure more out about this Bible study podcast, that might change. I might go off lectionary at times, but at least this gives us a place to start. And I'm excited to be here with you talking about God's Word and looking at these texts through the lens of God's Word and God's love, and how we can take God's Word and God's love with us out into our everyday lives. We have to take a short break, but when we come back, we'll be talking about Galatians and the Gospel of Luke. Stay tuned.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. Jordan and Keith is Entertainment Tonight meets Access Hollywood.
I'm Jordan. The guy laughing, that's Keith.
Yeah, I'm Keith.
An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Again, I'm your host, Sarah. Just to recap what we talked about in the first half of this episode, we talked about two Old Testament readings, one from 2 Samuel and one from Psalm 32. And I just wanted to make a quick note before we move on to the New Testament about those readings that are difficult. Because if you remember, I said I wasn't always comfortable with some of the things that I encounter in the Bible, that some of the stories make me angry. And I just want to say, it's okay to be angry. It's okay to read a story in the Bible and not agree with it, to have questions about it. Some people say that the opposite of faith is doubt, but I don't believe that. I believe that doubt leads to questions. Questions lead to conversation. They lead to engaging in God's Word in ways that lead us into deeper relationship with God. It's not always easy to read God's Word and try to figure out what God is saying to us. Try to figure out what these stories that were written thousands of years ago might have to do with our lives today. So doubt isn't a bad thing. And it's okay to read a story and be angry or be sad or be confused. But don't just sit in that anger or sadness or confusion. Engage those stories. Try to figure out if there's anything in there that speaks to you today. Try to figure that out. Engage in the stories. And so that's my little soapbox on difficult stories. I'm sure it'll be a continuing theme as we journey through God's Word together. So just so you know, that's my thought on that. And on that note, we're going to move on to the reading from Galatians. And it's from Galatians chapter 2. Paul writes, "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have come to believe in Christ Jesus, so that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by doing the works of the law, because no one will be justified by the works of the law. But if in our effort to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up again the very things that I once tore down, then I demonstrate that I am a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. So that's the reading for this week from Galatians chapter 2. And as a reminder, a little background, Paul wrote letters to specific churches that he was working with. So this letter is to the church in Galatians, in the Galatian communities. Paul writes letters that address specific instances. And we don't have the other half of the correspondence. So you have to realize that this is a conversation. The churches wrote to Paul. Paul wrote to the churches, but we don't have the churches' letters. So we have to extrapolate what Paul may have been referring to when he writes these letters. And he's always addressing something specific that happened in that community. Paul was a pastor. No matter what you think about Paul, and I certainly have my opinions on him, which we're not going to get into right now, he was a pastor, and he loved the people that he pastored. He did his best by them. We don't always agree with everybody. We don't always agree with our pastors. I know, shocking. But that doesn't mean that we have to then dismiss everything they say. And here, Paul is talking about works and faith and being justified by grace. Paul wrote in his letters that Christ died for us, and because Christ died for us, then we are forgiven. This leads back to that forgiveness theme that we've been talking about with these readings. Christ died for us, and because Christ died for us, then we have died to sin and we are alive in Christ. We are alive in the promises of the resurrection. And so then you get this whole debate, argument, whatever you want to call it, about the place of works in our lives. So if Christ died for us, if God forgives us, then works don't save us. So to put that another way, sometimes we think, if only I do this right, if only I pray harder, if only I strengthen my relationship with God, if only I do acts of kindness, do acts of charity, whatever it is, if only I do X, Y, and Z, if I can just make myself a list and check those things off the list, then I will be secure in God's love, I will be saved, God will love me. And that's not how it works, Paul writes to us. Paul reminds us that God sent Jesus. Jesus died for our sins, but then was resurrected on the third day. And because of that, because of the promises that we have in the resurrection, because we are beloved children of God, that we are loved and forgiven and saved no matter what. And so then we get into this whole thing. Again, it's kind of like we talked about with forgiveness, well, and repentance. If God forgives me, then I can do whatever I want. Well, if God loves me no matter what, that means I don't have to do anything, right? Well, in a sense, yes. And in another sense, no. Because if God loves us so much that God did all of this for us, and I like to say that the Bible is basically one giant love letter from God, one giant story about God trying to be in relationship with God's people, doing everything that God can to get us, the stubborn humans, to pay attention to the amazing gifts that we've been given by God. So if God loves us that much, that God went through all of that, that God struggles to be in relationship with us, finally sends Jesus, how can we just say, then I don't have to do anything? We don't. But the love that we've been given should make us want to give that love to others. The gifts that we have been given should make us want to share those gifts with each other. We aren't justified by works. We aren't saved by the things that we do. We aren't saved if we can check all the appropriate boxes and say, I have done this, I have done this, I have said this, I have not done these things. Therefore, not pass go, or I will pass go, I'll collect $200 and off to heaven I go. God will love me. That's not what justification by grace means. It means that God loves us. But because God loves us, think of what we can do if we try to love everyone the way God loves us. Think of the things that we could do in the world if we tried to share that love with each other. We get so focused on ourselves and what we do and how we can do things better, worse, right, wrong, etc., that we don't always see our neighbors. But God loves us. God has made us beloved children, and we live in a family of beloved children. So we need to remember to share God's love with each other, to share the gifts that God has given us with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, Paul, again, is writing to a specific community, and he begins this section with a clear statement. He says that we know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And it makes it sound, by saying a person, it makes him sound like he's talking about a singular person. But this is an issue of corporate fellowship. Paul isn't against the law. Paul isn't against specific aspects of the law. He's not saying that Gentiles were better than Jews, and just remember that Jews and Gentiles were non-Jews, and Paul went to bring the gospel to people who were not Jewish. Paul was convinced that in order to bring the Gentiles into the fold, into the life that Christ had given us, that a different stand had to be taken on the law. And this goes back to the works again. So it goes back to works and love. Yes, the laws are important. Yes, we have to obey laws, both God's laws, both civic laws. They all play a part. But Paul was always saying to his churches, but we need to temper that with love. So don't get so upset at your neighbor because they aren't following the law the way you follow it. Remember that they are a child of God. Remember that they have been forgiven as you have been forgiven. Try to see your neighbor through the eyes of God. Try to see your neighbor through the eyes of love. We're going to continue on with that a little bit, but we do have to take a brief break. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We have been talking about love and forgiveness. We've been talking about repentance and works. We've been talking about a lot of things in this episode, dealing with the texts that have been assigned for this week. And we just talked about Galatians. We talked about Paul's letter to the church, to the communities there, and seeing our neighbor through the eyes of love. And I think that's a good segue into the gospel reading for this week. The gospel reading from this week is from the Gospel of Luke. It's Luke 7, verse 36 through 8, verse 3. And it says, "One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city, who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner.' Jesus spoke up and said to him, 'Simon, I have something to say to you.' 'Teacher,' he replied, 'speak.' So Jesus said, 'A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. But when they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now which one of them will love him more?' And Simon answered, 'I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt.' And Jesus said to him, 'You have judged rightly.' Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. But those who were at the table with Jesus began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Soon afterwards, Jesus went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, two as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza, and Susanna, and many others, who provided for them out of their resources. This is the gospel for today from Luke. And I read a commentary once where the author said that this was probably his favorite story in the whole New Testament. And on the one hand, I can see where he's going with that. But my initial thought was I was a little bit fascinated by this because as a kid, I remember thinking that this story is just plain weird. So in order to understand that, let's set the stage. Jesus is having dinner at the house of a Pharisee. We're told later that his name is Simon. And we have to assume that the guests there are prominent in the community. Pharisees were prominent in the community. That this was an important party, that there were lots of important people there. So because of these guests, this is more than just a simple dinner party. This is a gathering of the respected and respectable to discuss very important matters. I'm sure you can picture the scene. And there is Jesus, maybe not seen as prominent, maybe not seen as well respected as others, but certainly very well known in this community. He was very well known to many people. He had to have been, or he wouldn't have been invited in the first place. So into this very respectable scene bursts a woman. And I say burst because there's nothing subtle about her appearance. You can just picture her kind of, I don't know, banging open doors and running in and throwing herself towards Jesus. She bursts on the scene when she simply shouldn't be there. Now, conventions of the day say that as a woman, she certainly shouldn't have been there in the presence of men without a husband or a father or even at all. And she certainly shouldn't have been anywhere uninvited. She should not have just let herself into this gathering. But in she comes. And then it gets stranger because she throws herself towards Jesus and she begins to weep all over his feet while she's kissing them. As if this isn't enough, she then dries his feet with her hair and anoints them with some ointment that she's brought. So just picture this, if this is your dinner party, and suddenly this stranger rushes in, runs up to one of your guests, starts crying all over him, kissing his feet, and then drying those feet with her hair. And then she just pulls out a jar of ointment and starts anointing your guest. Yeah, so you can see why I thought this was totally crazy as a kid. As much as I loved anyone, I just couldn't imagine crying all over their feet and then using my hair to dry those feet. I mean, ew. It definitely sets a stage and gives us a certain picture. So, of course, the Pharisee is shocked and appalled at this interruption to his elite party of respectable people. Not only did this strange woman just burst in, but she is a sinner. Picture that in all capital letters, sinner. Many commentators throughout the years have determined that this must have meant that she was a prostitute. Now, as a friend of mine always used to say, back the bookmobile up a minute. There's nothing in this text that says the woman was a sinner, or she's a sinner. There's nothing to say that she was a prostitute, just a sinner. And guess what? That title applies to all of us. So because we're all sinners, should we assume that we're all prostitutes? All sinners are prostitutes? Of course not. On the other hand, whatever this woman has done to cause her to receive this label of sinner must be well known because everyone at this party knows who she is, knows that she is a sinner, all capitals. So it must have been a bit bigger than your run-of-the-mill sin. And here's why the commentator that I mentioned earlier liked this story so much, because it is in fact about forgiveness. Nowhere in the Bible are we given any kind of hierarchy of sin. One sin is treated pretty much like another. We're not given a list that says this sin is worse than this sin and therefore deserves X amount of punishment. One sin, Like I said, it's pretty much treated like another, but Jesus takes this opportunity to tell Simon the Pharisee a parable. This is kind of like what we saw in the 2 Samuel reading. Nathan takes the opportunity to tell a story to illustrate his point. So Jesus asks Simon the Pharisee about two men who both owe debts, but one owes 10 times more than the other. When both are forgiven their debt, Jesus asks who would be more grateful. And the Pharisee answers that he supposes the one who owed more would be more grateful. And this is like sin. Both men were debtors. Both were forgiven their debt with no difference made to the amount of that debt. Both were more than likely grateful. But we have to assume that the one who owed 10 times as much had to be extremely grateful and very, very relieved. It doesn't matter what the woman's sins were. Maybe there was only one, maybe there were multiple. It doesn't matter. It just matters that she was forgiven. She was forgiven and she wanted to share her gratitude with the one who had ensured her forgiveness, with Jesus. If her sin was as big as the story makes it out to be, then we can only guess at the level of her gratitude at being forgiven, at the freedom that she felt, like we hear about in Psalm 32, the freedom she felt at being forgiven of her sins. And as weird as her actions are, she expresses that gratitude in the only way she is capable of, in giving of herself, in using her tears, her kisses, her hair, to express her gratitude. She uses what she has. And when we come back, we'll be talking more about that. We'll be talking more about the parable and forgiveness, but we have to take a quick break, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We've been talking about sin and forgiveness, repentance, confession, parables, all sorts of things today. And before the break, we were talking about this woman who bursts into Simon the Pharisee's dinner party and acts a little strangely and weeps all over Jesus. Jesus then tells Simon a parable to explain how he views the woman's actions. And after the parable, then, Jesus turns things around on Simon. Jesus points out that Simon, amazing host that he thought himself to be, hadn't actually been very hospitable to Jesus. He hadn't offered him the kiss of peace upon his entering, whereas this woman hadn't stopped kissing Jesus since she'd arrived. He says that Simon hadn't offered the hospitality of anointing Jesus' head with oil or allowing him to wash the dust of travel off of his feet, yet this woman had done both. This sinful woman's extravagant hospitality puts respected Simon's hospitality to shame. She takes her gratitude and turns it into service. She takes the love that she's been given and turns it into service. One year, when I helped with Vacation Bible School at one of the churches that I worked with, the theme for that week was service. And so the kids there learned about a different aspect of service each day: to serve family, to serve friends, to serve neighbors, to serve their community, and finally to serve Jesus. So together we learned that service means helping. And when we help each other, we are showing God's love for each other. You may be thinking back to the Galatians reading. The last day of Vacation Bible School was the day that we talked about serving Jesus. Even though we can't see him, Jesus told us that whenever we help another person, we are actually helping him. This woman, this unnamed woman who's only seen as a sinner, served Jesus in the best and only way she knew how. She used the gifts and abilities she had to return the love of God that he had given her. She used her hair, her tears, her kisses, and ointment to show her love and to serve Jesus. Acts of service don't have to be grand or extravagant, although they certainly can be. We perform acts of service every day, from small to big, to our families, our friends, our neighbors, our community. And we do this in a million different ways, using whatever we have available to us. And when we serve them, when we serve our families, our friends, our neighbors, and our community, we serve Jesus. When we take God's love and give it to others, we are loving Jesus too. So the story of the unnamed woman and of Simon are ongoing. All of us are sinners. Even Simon, although he might not have wanted to admit it, we probably all want to put ourselves in the place of the woman, recognizing our forgiveness and rejoicing in it like the psalmist does in Psalm 32. But the truth is, we're human. So sometimes we're that woman, and sometimes we're Simon. Sometimes we recognize our forgiveness and we rejoice in it. Sometimes we recognize our forgiveness and just take it for granted. Sometimes we refuse to recognize the forgiveness of others because we don't approve of them or their lifestyle. We're human, and so we react in different ways to every situation. This story is ongoing because we get to choose what we do with our forgiveness. Do we rejoice in it? Do we resent it in others when they act in ways that we should act? Do we take our forgiveness and turn it into acts of service, even knowing that we don't have to do anything in order to deserve that forgiveness? It's just human nature to react in all of these ways. We don't always just act in one way or another. We act along a spectrum. But what if we were to make a more conscious effort to turn our forgiveness into service, to turn our forgiveness into joy, into love, into service? What if we were to use the gifts that we have, the gifts that God has given us, because God has given all of us unique and amazing gifts? What if we use those gifts to serve those around us in any way that we could? What if we use the gifts to show God's love to our brothers and sisters? We don't have to. We are forgiven regardless of what we do, of how we act, of what acts of service that we perform. But shouldn't that forgiveness naturally just lead to gratitude on our part? We receive forgiveness regardless of our inner snarkiness or if we've truly repented or not, because that's how God's forgiveness works. It's what we do next that really, really makes a difference. We can ignore that forgiveness and just rest assured that God loves us and forgives us, and so fine, that's all I need to do. Or we can take that forgiveness back with us out into the world. And instead of just going on about our lives like we often do, just maybe thinking about ourselves or our to-do list or, you know, the things that are immediately in front of us, instead of ignoring or not thinking so much about the amazing gift that we've been given through God's forgiveness, through God's love, we can use that forgiveness to fuel acts of love and service. We can use what we've been given to use our voice when someone is voiceless. We can use that forgiveness to express our gratitude in acts of love. We can use that forgiveness in so many ways to show God's love to the world, to try to make our little corner of the world a better place in any way that we can. No matter what your gifts are, big, little, impressive, whatever, you can use them to show someone else God's love. So to sum up what we've talked about, you know, in this two-part episode on June 12th's lectionary texts, the prophet Nathan makes David see clearly the sin that he has committed. The woman who bathes Jesus' feet with her tears knows the weight of guilt and sin. Over them and over every person who knows and confesses his or her sin, Psalm 32 pronounces this blessing. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And that seems like a pretty good note to end on, actually. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. We rejoice in our forgiven state. We take that love, we take that forgiveness, we use it to show God's love to everyone that we encountered. So it seems like a pretty good note to end on. This is all the time that we have for today. Thank you for joining me as we explored God's Word together. Don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud, and you can learn more about the whole GSMC Podcast Network at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We've got a lot of great podcasts, a lot of great podcast hosts, and we would love to have you join us for all the podcasts covering everything from sports to entertainment to books to the Bible. And I hope you'll join me again next week as we discuss God's Word, as we explore God's Word in our lives. And in the meantime, remember this. Remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Amen.